the Diocese of Churches for the Sake of Others, is pleased to present the C4SO podcast, a place to celebrate the voices and values of C4SO, a diocese of the Anglican Church in North America, led by Bishop Todd Hunter. You can learn more about us at c4so.org.
Welcome, everybody, to the C4SO podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Ben Sternke. And today we have a special episode with Manik Korea, missionary, presbyter, and the regional team leader for Southeast Asia with New Anglican Missionary Society. And the reason we're talking with Manik is that he is also C4SO's global consultant. Manik, welcome to the C4SO podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm really thrilled to be here with you today.
Yes. What else should we know about you before we dive in?
Well, I'm a Singaporean, and I'm actually speaking to you from Singapore.
Yes.
But my parentage, my dad is really from Sri Lanka. My mother comes from Kerala, Southwest India. So you could say I'm Indian Sri Lankan.
Okay.
My wife is actually Taiwanese. And we met in the UK when I was involved with the first church plant with NAMS when we were working all these many years ago. It's 2002 that I met her, and we married in 2005. I have one son. His name is Josiah. Mm-hmm. He turns 15 this year. And we spent the last 13 years in Thailand. We were missionaries with NAMS. The last 9 of those years were planting a church in Bangkok, Thailand.
Hmm.
And then that church is established there. We have a base, a NAMS base, and leadership that has now taken over. And so we moved back to Singapore January of last year. So during the pandemic, we moved back and relocated back to Singapore. So that's why we are here as well.
Okay, very good. And what's the work that you're doing now? And then what is the regional team leader for Southeast Asia?
Yeah.
What does that entail?
Well, I do a couple of roles. The regional team leader is what in NAMS we have overseeing each of our regions, where we have bases or where we have companions. That's what we call members of the missionary society called NAMS.
Okay.
And so where we have workers on the field, and so we'll have a regional team leader oversee them. So the work in Bangkok is really Southeast Asia. And so I was overseeing that work. We have links working into Myanmar with a partnership with one of the Anglican dioceses there. And so far, that's it. But I've moved back to Singapore and we'll be exploring how we could work in this part of the world as well. So, But I also have a global role in NAMS. Have been the last 4 years in playing the role of what is called a global executive. So working with all our global leaders across the world. So it's been thrilling. It's been a wonderful role for me to see and be a part of what God is doing around the world.
Oh, well, that's great. As I mentioned before, you are also C4SO's global consultant. So what does that entail for us as a diocese? What do you do for us?
Sure. Well, I think the role was really created by our dear Bishop Todd Hunter, about a year and a half ago. And so just a little bit of backstory. I was ordained as a missionary priest for the work of NAMS by Bishop TJ and under authority from Bishop Todd. And most of our ordained leadership in NAMS as an Anglican mission are ordained in a sitting diocese, resident canonically in a diocese. So when I was ordained, really under Bishop Todd, the idea was that we were just serving as a missionary in the field. But as I've continued to just be in touch with Bishop Todd and share a little bit about what NAMS is doing. About a year and a half ago, he said to me, you know, would you like to come on board the executive leadership team of C4SO and be like what he called a global consultant, someone that will help to raise the profile of global missions with our diocese and seek to help our churches learn about and participate in global missions, be a conscience for global missions, as he called it at that point. So really, that's how I got into the role. It's a developing one because, you know, we're trying to figure out what exactly do I need to do to help C4SO clergy and churches be involved with global missions. So, you know, I've started writing blogs and wanting to be available really to connect churches and leadership in C4SO with opportunities for global missions. I represent a mission organization called NAMS, but there are also many other Anglican mission agencies. And indeed, you know, I'll maybe talk about it a little later, but we're trying to work with it within the province, within you know, ACNA, to see if how we could plug our churches into global missions. Many opportunities there are. So my role particularly is just to help develop that and to raise a vision for that.
Yeah. Well, very good. It sounds like the, that sounds like a, like you said, a developing role. You're seeking to learn what that looks like. And I think part of this process was sending out a survey to the rectors in C4SO last year. So, you know, pastors of churches last year. What were, and some of our listeners might remember that survey, I wonder if you could talk to us about the results and the learnings of that survey. What did you find as you read through the results of that survey that, I don't know, that you think would be interesting to pass along to us?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Ben. That was a we did that sometime in July of last year. And again, it was just an attempt to gauge where our churches are in terms of mission, both locally and globally. So, you know, we have 60-something churches in our diocese, and we received about 21, I think, responses, about a third of our churches, you know, which is not bad, 30%, I guess, somewhat representative, I guess, of the churches in our diocese. All of those churches were in the U.S. except for one, which is the Church of the Good Shepherd that's in Honduras. So, basically, it was a simple survey. We're just asking basic information about, you know, their current support and participation in global missions, what interest there was, you know. So let me just, three questions I could highlight, three things that we learned from doing this survey. One of the questions asked respondents to choose from three options that they were supporting as churches, whether it's local missionaries, regional missionaries, meaning those in the country, in the state, and then global missionaries. And so from the 17 or so churches that responded to that question, we learned that 71% of those churches supported local missions, local missionaries in their midst. 29% of them supported missionaries in the region, and 65% of them supported global missionaries. So, you know, just from those figures, that you'd see that as a whole, many of our churches have support for global missions, whether it's local or regional or global, which is a great sign, you know, because after all, we are, we call ourselves the Diocese for the Churches for the Sake of Others. So we ought to live up to that name. We really live to be on mission around us and further afield. So that was a kind of a good indication that generally there is support and involvement in mission, whether it's local or global. But question six, for example, in the survey was an attempt to gauge how important global mission was to the leaders who responded in terms of their vision and ministry of their church. And so what we found was, unsurprisingly, mission featured highly as in terms of what people felt was important, you know, to do and to support in the church. Certainly local missions, I mean, that's the case, we know, you know. A lot of our churches are church plants, and so they're out in the community trying to connect and reach. But what was interesting for me in the question was the percentage of churches that said that global missions, this is talking about global missions, was not important to them, or only somewhat important. And from the churches that responded to this question, 57% of them said, you know, global mission was not important or only very, very slightly important to them, which showed me that I have my work cut out. You know, part of my role in is really to help churches see and appreciate and indeed want to get involved with global mission. That the gospel mission extends from where we are to the communities around us and regionally, but also to the ends of the earth. You know, so trying to see that there's a need to increase the number of churches that would say, yes, global missions is important. We may be a small church. We may be a small church plant. We have our hands full trying to just reach our community, trying to establish a kingdom, you know, be kingdom agents where we are to represent a sign and of the kingdom here. But let us not forget that Jesus calls us to have the globe in sight. You know, we need to be, I think John Stott, I love one of John Stott's quotes when he said, we must be global Christians with a global vision, because our God is a global God. And if you look at the scriptures, you see that that's true. You know, he had the whole world in view, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And the church is an integral part of that. You know, Chris Wright said that it's not so much the case that God has a mission for his church in the world as that God has a church for the for his mission in the world. You know, so the church was made for mission, for God's mission. And so I'd like to see how we could help our churches understand that that's as much a part of their role, global missions. Keep that in view as much as the local.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back once again to the C4SO Cycle of Prayer Spotlight, where we highlight the specific ministry that we're praying for this week in our diocesan cycle of prayer. This week, we are praying for Church of the Resurrection in Los Angeles, California, which is led by the Reverend Tisha Hadra. And she has joined us to share briefly about what's going on right now and how we can pray specifically for them. Tisha, welcome to the C4SO Cycle of Prayer Spotlight.
Thanks so much for having me, Ben. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Well, you've been on before to chat with us about the resurrection, and I think for something else previously.
Yes, we've had a couple of conversations.
We have. I remember talking with you about one thing or another, but this, I think, is the first time that you've been on to share about the cycle of prayer, because this is your first year of being the rector at Church of the Resurrection.
That's
Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Absolutely.
Well, I wonder if you could share from your perspective something that you're encouraged by right now.
Sure. So as you said, I became the rector at Res last October. And so I've been in this role for less than a year. And I imagined that as a new rector, that change could be challenging or would be challenging. But I've been very, very encouraged by the energy and appetite for change and innovation within my parish. I find or have found that our church is really hungry for spiritual growth, hungry for ways to leverage their spiritual gifts for the building up of the body. And they're really hungry to see Res become a fixture in the community for God's glory. And that has been really, really encouraging, because it doesn't feel like I'm having to pull the people along. And that feels really good.
That is wonderful. That's great news. I'm really glad that that's been your experience. On the flip side, what's the challenge that y'all are facing right now?
Yeah, so, you know, consistent with what we have been seeing in culture, I think there are a good number of people in our church who struggle with church hurt and just have a sense of disillusionment with the church. I'm not talking here about instances of sexual abuse and other kinds of gross misconduct in the church, though that is also represented within our parish. But that is a very separate and much more delicate and different thing. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the more like widespread phenomenon of disillusionment, deconstruction, that cultural trend that we're seeing now. And I believe that it is so important to make space for sharing that pain and that experience, and to make space to hold that with the people. Mm-hmm. And yet that sense of disillusionment, suspicion, even cynicism, those are not healthy places to inhabit forever. Those are not places out of which our faith can flourish. And so I think the challenge then is in binding up those wounds, to be sure, while also in time inviting people into an experience of hope, an experience of joy, a real openness to an encounter with the love of God.
I really appreciate the way you articulated that, Tisha, and the way that you're leading people through that. It's filled with grace and truth, it seems to me. And so, good on you. I hope that more churches will emulate the way that you are doing that. Thanks for joining us today, Tisha. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you for having me. I'm so glad that our diocese lifts our churches up in prayer, and we're just super blessed to be on people's hearts and minds this week.
Good. Well, amen. Listeners, if you'd like to find out more about Church of the Resurrection or contribute to their work, check out the link in the show notes. I was just reflecting, Monique, on some of the consciousness of a lot of C4SO churches kind of comes from this overall new missional influence towards the West, right? So that Leslie Newbegin, this kind of realization that, it isn't that local ministry is just all about pastoral care for people who are already Christians, and then like global missions is for people who aren't Christians yet. There was this realization that, oh, the people here aren't really Christians, you know, they're maybe cultural Christians, but they're like the life of faith actually needs to be, we need to be on mission in our own backyard. Yes. And this new consciousness, I think, was really helpful for people to kind of revitalize church planting and all kinds of different things. But I hear you calling us then to integrate that vision of local mission, which is good and helpful, but integrate that then again with a vision for global mission. In some ways, so that we're not just focusing on one or the other, but we're able to, integrate. Integration is the word that comes to mind for me.
Yeah, I think that's a good word. You know, I think if we look at the storyline of the scriptures, I think Chris Wright is very correct in saying that the scriptures are really a missional text. They're the missional story of a God who is seeking to rescue for his own namesake, for his own glory, a people for himself out of the brokenness of our lives and of our world. And so Jesus is the central point and the central actor, the central missionary, really, in that story, because he comes to seek and to save the lost. But the scriptures always connect where we are and the challenge of being salt and light to those around us with a sense that we also have a call to those that are far away. So I think the both end of missions is really important. You know, I always think of how when Jesus told the apostles to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts 1:8, he said that when they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they will be his witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. It's the preposition "and" there connects all those places. So it's not Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria. You know, it's we don't get to pick. We're called to the whole thing. Now, without a doubt, and I want to agree with you clearly, the West today, post-Christian, the West has become a great mission field in its own right. And it is right for us to be awakened to that fact that all around us there is great need once more for us to be actively reaching out as missionaries. And when you're a missionary, mm-hmm. as I have been and am, in a new country, you have to learn afresh the language of the people,
yeah.
the culture. Where are they? You know, what mm-hmm. are the things that they now are holding on to that are idols, they're self-substitutions for the true God? And so how can we address mm-hmm. those? How can we bring the gospel to bear amongst the people we're in? So absolutely for North America, yeah. Our churches have to be engaged in that.
Yeah.
But my simple invitation is, will we not forget that some mm-hmm. of us may be called to indeed leave and go to the ends of the earth? Some of us, mm-hmm. and all of us, I would hope, are called to have eyes to pray for both those in our community and the nations, that God would reach them as we want him to reach our neighbors next door.
Yeah, that's great. Manik, I love that vision, and I think that's worthy work. Let's get practical here before we close.
Sure.
What opportunities are there for partnership, maybe within Anglicanism, within NAMS, and outside Anglicanism? How can churches, maybe listeners, clergy, people in churches who are listening to this, how can they get involved in global kingdom mission?
Yeah, love that question, and I think that's kind of part of the answer is why I guess Bishop Todd asked me to take on this role is to begin to help our churches to share yeah. resources, to share training, to call people, to try to bring together churches and missions and mission organizations. So I represent a mission organization, an Anglican church planting organization called NAMS. And we're in 15 countries on 5 continents. So we have a widespread. We have opened doors in at least another 20 nations. We're working both with Anglicans, and we're also mm-hmm. working ecumenically as God opens doors amongst his global church. So we understand that for us, you know, what's key is to find partnerships between churches in our mm-hmm. diocese, and mission organizations like NAMS, where we have indigenous leaders and missionaries on the field. And so there's an urgent need to find supporters, to find people that are willing to be part of an engagement into global missions. And one of the things that as a mission leader I want to say, it's important to say, is for us, supporting or partnering with an organization like NAMS isn't just about, oh, you give the money and we'll do the work. I really see it as it has to be a partnership in the gospel. And partnership for me requires more than just one side giving, the other side receiving. I think there needs to be a way that we can both help each other. When you support a missionary or a mission organization, you hopefully will be hearing and learning about a new place, new cultures, new ways of bringing the gospel into those spaces and seeing transformation happen and being a part of that and being able to say, look, we are partners with that. Maybe being able to send a team out to the field, maybe being able to receive missionaries to your church once a year to share, certainly to be a part of it. So there are certainly opportunities that I represent as a mission organization. Of course, we also have within ACNA, we have the New Wineskins Network, for example, that puts on the New Wineskins convention that's happening later this year in October. Once every 3 years, there's an opportunity for all Anglican mission organizations to be together. We'd love you to join us. You know, that's a chance to hear and see. So there is also something called the Global Missions Initiative, GMI, which is an initiative within ACNA, ACNA, to increase participation in global missions. So there are a number of avenues that I can connect you with. One of the most exciting things that's emerging out of C4SO, and you will probably be sharing about this in future, is this idea of the Diaspora Network that's going to be launched very soon. And so, you know, Jonathan Kindenberg, and I think what we're going to try and do is to work together so that we can link missions to diaspora communities in the United States and global missions, and see all of that together. And so there are exciting things happening in our diocese. And I want to say, God willing, as we grow into this, there'll be more opportunities to really see how this can happen. Let me just share one thing, Ben. I think a story maybe that will help. One of the things that's really important that anyone can do in any of our churches is to simply have eyes to see the lost, whether it's people in your community or people that live the other side of the world. Many years ago, before I joined NAMS, I was serving in my local Anglican church in Singapore, and my first job was working as I was an editor in a Christian magazine. And, I loved my job. It was doing a lot of articles, writings, interviews, preparing for issues. And I remember it was a very busy time of the year. We were preparing, deadlines were looming, and we were trying to finish work for an issue that was coming out. And one morning in the office of this magazine in Singapore, there was a knock on the door, and I went to answer it. And there was a man dressed in a saffron robe, so a Buddhist monk, really. He looked Western. He had closely cropped blondish hair and green eyes. And he was collecting money for a new Buddhist temple they were building down the road. And to be honest, Ben, I was really disturbed because I was trying to finish my work and I was stressed with all the deadlines. And here's this guy asking for funds for a Buddhist temple. And I said to him, look, this is a Christian office. You know, sorry, we don't have any money for you. And he said to me, oh, I believe in Jesus too. And I got really annoyed because I was like, look, I said, I don't have time for you today. You know, please leave. And I showed him the door. And just as he was leaving, he turned around to me and he said, that doesn't sound very much like Jesus to me. And he left.
Whoa.
And his words just cut my heart. And I remember going and sitting back on my desk thinking, what have I done? You know, yes, he was so correct. Jesus would not have pushed him away. He would have engaged with him. And I was so busy doing Christian things, you know, that I had forgotten people, and God used that to really soften my heart and break my heart for those who don't know him. You know, do I have time for people who don't know him? Do I pray for people who are lost, whether they're in my community or whether they're at the ends of the earth? And so God began to stir in me. And not long after that, I met John Schuller, who's the leader of NAMS, founder of NAMS. Okay. In a visit he was making to Singapore, and he recruited me to join NAMS. But the point of the story is that God had to open my eyes. You know, I thought, well, I was busy at church. I was in the church council, the vestry, and I was just serving, doing all the Christian things. But I had lost sight of the lost, of the world outside. Mm. And so global missions is about lifting our eyes to see that the world around us is ripe for harvest. And what can we do about it? You know, whether it's praying, whether it's giving, whether it's maybe going for some of us, but whether it's as a church, we have a consciousness, a global consciousness for missions, like our bishop wants us to have.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that story, Manik. That's beautifully said. I appreciate your work in our diocese. And may our consciousness be raised for global mission.
Amen.
I'd like to conclude by asking, we're asking two questions of anybody who comes on the C4SO podcast this year. And so these are surprise questions.
Sure.
I didn't send these ahead of time, Manik.
No worries.
So anyway, all right. The first question is, what is a book, a movie, or a TV show that you have appreciated recently?
Okay. I don't watch a lot of movies these days. My wife and I love to have a date night once a week, and we try to get usually foreign movies. And the problem with me is I'm not good at remembering the titles, which is a drawback if you're going to talk about missions. But let me just say, let me share really the books that I've been reading. A really good book that I actually had to study as I was finishing my master's at Asbury in intercultural studies last year. It's a book by Chris Wright called The Mission of God. A very famous book. But what I loved about it, I think, and it's written in a way that you don't need to be a theologian to read it. It's for Christians really to understand that the mission of God is the mission of the church, and the mission of the church is the mission that belongs to every one of us. It's not for just for professional missionaries. And I loved how he traced through the scriptures the story of missions, that it is really a God who is a God on missions, and he's inviting us to join him in his mission into the world. Yeah. So for me, that was such a wonderful way that he shared and taught through the scriptures and brought home to me, you know, the importance of the mission of God for me as a Christian. How this ought to change and affect the way that I live my life. Yeah. So, that's a book.
The mission of God, okay. Second question is this: how can we pray for you?
Well, please pray for me. Well, two things, really. One is in the role that I've been called into for C4S. So I'd like to really be a servant of the diocese of our churches here, and to really help connect our people and raise the vision for global missions and bring about real living partnerships and involvement, participation of our people with global missions. And so pray that will come to fruition. Pray for all the initiatives we're trying to do. You know, I mentioned the Diaspora Network that's going to be launched soon, and all the other things, Lord, that we're trying to do that will bring about a real sense of adventure for us as churches, because being on mission with God in the world is an adventure. It's the greatest adventure there is, that we can reach people where we are and further afield the ends of the earth. So appreciate prayer for that, the role that I'm playing. But secondly, for my family and I, we've been just over a year now being back in Singapore, adjusting to our work here, trying to get established a NAMS base, and also to particularly for me in my role in NAMS, to help the work in Asia develop. So we have work in two places, in India and in Nepal. And a developing work, as I said, in Myanmar, one of the Anglican dioceses there, and then in Thailand, Bangkok, where we have a work. And I'd like to explore how we could serve here in Singapore and in the nations around. So appreciate prayer for my family and I as we continue to adjust in our time here.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for sharing all that with us. Monique, this talk about global mission reminded me, as we were talking about one of the prayers for mission at the end of morning prayer in the prayer book. And so I wonder if I could just close us in prayer.
Please. Sure.
O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh and hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the C4SO podcast. We hope you enjoyed our conversation. Email us your thoughts and suggestions at connect@c4so.org.